going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
And so it is, Tyleek Williams. Not a name we spent a lot of time talking about, John. What was your reaction to the pick, and what is it this morning?
Not a name that we had talked about, but certainly a position that we had talked about, whether it was defensive line, edge. It was just the fact that they needed to get some reinforcements on that defensive front. And the fit seems really good because Lee McNeil's not going to be back until sometime around Thanksgiving. And with DJ Reader, last year of his deal, it's not just a pick for this year, it's a pick for the future. You pair him with Lee McNeil in the years to come, but he's going to be a guy that is expected to start day one. With Lee McNeil out, he'll be right there next to DJ Reader, and you put him on the same side as Aiden Hutchinson. Okay, it's not the opposite edge, but one of the things that you see when you watch the highlights and you watch the game films, he does a really nice job of setting up his edge rusher for success. And that's the picks, it's the TE stunts, and whether he's lined up as a 4-eye or a 3, he does a really nice job of making it easy for that edge to be successful. In this case, it would be Aiden Hutchinson. But also, he's got some natural instincts of just when he frees up on some of those moments as well. He doesn't have to waste himself. He doesn't have to sacrifice himself. He can bounce off and make plays at the same time. So I do like his natural instincts. He seems to have a good football IQ. I also like the fact that he makes plays down the line of scrimmage. We all love to see tackles for loss. We love to see sacks. But sometimes that zero-yard gain that may be outside the tackle box, those are ones where they're just as important for no gain. You get to second and 10, that's a huge advantage for a defense.
Everything I've seen and read, good player, good person, film junkie,
yeah,
high football IQ, as TJ Lang echoed that same point last night on social media. He's a guy at 330 pounds. The first thing I noticed was where he was lining up. Not exclusively over the center. He's a big person that has the athleticism to play outside the guard. So they can move him around that defensive front. John, this was a need. As much as we talk edge, as much as we talk offensive line, this is a short-term need and a long-term need. Short-term, yeah, Lee McNeil's hurt to start the season. Long-term, DJ Reader's on a one-year deal. And now you compare these two athletic human beings who can rush the passer and stop the run in the middle of your defense. I get the vision. I see the vision. Makes sense to me. This is also, though, the second draft in a row, you could argue, Brad Holmes is drafted for need. I know he doesn't want to say that, and he would deny it. But this is a need pick, is it not? This was not BPA on many people's.
So it's interesting you say that, because Brad has always preached it's best available. And when the draft is completely done and we see what they've done on day two and day three, it'll be interesting to look back, because last year, what was the biggest need?
Corner.
They got two. What was the biggest need here?
D-line, probably.
D-line. And you could argue edge, but...
And then they end up with two.
Right. And so now you hear from people that aren't Brad Holmes. And I know that Will Birchfield, and again, follow him on Twitter. He does a great job with the website, but he sent out one just a little bit ago that had quotes from the voice of the Lions, Dan Miller, that was from Dan Campbell. That's why we picked him. The guy fits a need.
And I want to be clear, this is not a dig at Brad Holmes.
No.
It's a good thing they drafted a quality football player who fits a need.
Right. So I think, and we talk about this, Brad Holmes at some point, is there going to be a pick or a draft or a free agency that he goes, it varies from his principles. You can have principles that you live by, but there are situations where it requires you to get outside your comfort zone. It requires you to do something a little bit different. This is a good football player, and maybe it's a little bit different, and he just doesn't have to pigeonhole himself into, I have to pick the best player available. You clearly have some needs, especially if you are in a position to go for a Super Bowl now.
Well, think about it, John. The teams that they're going to play to win the Super Bowl. The Eagles are the reigning champs. They want to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stop the run. If the Niners are still going to hang around and be right. Pain, Kyle Shanahan,
CMC.
They're going to run the ball. CMC and whoever the hell is in that backfield, they're going to run the ball when Kyle Shanahan's
in
the
division.
Coach. The Bears are beefing up the offensive line. They're going to want to run the ball more. Both the Packers and the Vikings, those head coaches come from a run the ball, set up the pass philosophy. You got to stop the run first and foremost. And it does seem like there's pass rushing upside here. I saw Ohio State fans saying, don't look at the sack numbers. And I think Brad Holmes even said that. Don't look at the sack numbers. There is upside to get to the quarterback with this player. He is not just a run stopper. He's going to help collapse the pocket and get to the quarterback.
Yeah. The other thing Dan Campbell said to Dan Miller last night was he's got tons of untapped potential. He also fits the now and immediate. So there's a lot that he fits for this defense, for this team.
And fit is good. Need at this stage, you don't have a lot of needs.
Well, and you're giving your new defensive coordinator, Calvin Shepard, the ability to take care of the basics. The basics is stop the run. And if you're going in first time defensive play caller, you better make sure that you're tied down on the basics. And then you could start tweaking things. You could start running blitzes. You could start attacking from different ways and be creative. But you've got to be able to run the ball offensively, stop the run. The next thing is you got to be able to throw the ball effectively. And you also have to be able to get after the opponent's pass rusher. How do you do that? You beef up the defensive line.
Another way of looking at this is they don't want the Aleem McNeil injury to be an excuse that holds this team back this season.
Oh, you don't want the injury hangover?
Right. Because if he's not going till Thanksgiving, and who knows how quickly he gets up to speed, you don't want to be three games back in the division. You want to have someone who you can plug in immediately, and you use a first-round pick on guys who can play immediately. See, when we zoom out on this, what we had talked about for months, give me a player, a big player, on one of the lines of scrimmage who makes an impact right away, short-term and long-term. Check, check, check. So I like the pick. The pushback from some, John, you've seen it.
Oh, sure.
Jihad Campbell was there. Many thought he was a top 10 pick, top 15 pick. And it doesn't matter what draft Nick's had to say on it. You got confirmation when Howie Roseman took him three picks later.
Sure, but he's also a guy that fit a need for the Eagles. And yes, the Lions have the same need, but they've got two defensive tackles that are damn good. And now all of a sudden, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, they lost Brandon Graham to retirement. They lost Sweat to free agency. They had to reload at the edge. And what was the conversation about Trey Hendrickson or Myles Garrett? You know, Howie Roseman said, yeah, we're willing to go after all of those individuals. And we heard that Dan Campbell was the one that called Cleveland the most. So he's hyper aware that they need somebody else opposite Aiden Hutchinson. But this is a pick, and where I would shade towards Tyleek Williams for the Lions, this is a 3-4 down guy. I think Jahad Campbell, and maybe in their defense, because they run it a little bit different, Maybe he was a 4-down guy because they'll always have a wide guy and he could be that guy. But for the Lions, I don't know that he would be a first or second down run stop guy.
Right, but the thought would be the best player available, regardless of position, was Jahad Campbell.
Yep.
And that's confirmed by the best general manager in football. So I know we trust Brad Holmes, and I like the pick from Brad Holmes. But if someone called in today upset, they could defer to the best general manager in football agrees with them. And I think you could at least make the argument or the case.
If we get past the point that we just don't need to hold Brad to his words in terms of best player available, and they didn't need,
sure,
and get caught in that vortex because it's a vicious one.
Yeah.
And look at the fact that there was a garden that had to be watered that we probably overlooked, and it was the run defense. That we thought offensive line and edge were, and this may be an equal, because without Aleem until Thanksgiving, let's just say, you have a glaring hole potentially in the run D, which was one of the hugest things this franchise has changed about itself since these guys have been here. It was awful the first year they were here. It was awful early in the second. Remember, that's what cost them in Carolina.
But then when that changed, along with a lot of things,
double digit wins started coming.
Yep.
You know, so maybe we just kind of overlooked that. And this guy, they say the one thing he's going to do no matter what is stop the run. They say he's a can't miss with that.
That's non-negotiable. He's a run stopper first and foremost. If they didn't draft him / if they didn't prioritize this position group, they go into the season with DJ Reader, who's a little long in a tooth, on the final year of his deal, and who's next to him?
Well, yeah,
Lopez, who they signed as kind of a depth piece. It's a bigger need than maybe people gave credit for.
Well, and you also look at just, you know, in terms of the Detroit Lions depth chart and what you're going to need. This is, if there's any lessons learned from last year, you can never have enough defensive linemen. You don't think you're going to lose, you know, 7 defensive linemen per season, but you can never have enough O-line. You can never have enough D-line. You can never have enough edge. So it leads us to the question, what do you want them to do on day 2 and day 3?
It's a great question. We can get into it coming up next. Phone calls first, ticket text as well. It's 97.1. Before we get to John Jansen's day 2 targets, we get back to the phones. Your reaction, Tyleek Williams, the pick for the Lions at 28. Not a name we spent a lot of time talking about, but a position that we highlighted. Maybe a sneaky need to some. Let's get to Matt and Fenton. Matt, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. So for the Pistons, I think the problem was defense and not all, but some bad shots.
Hmm.
Like, they took some bad shots, I thought. As for the Lions, I loved the pick. You know, we could always use more defense to help us get that push to the Super Bowl. And then, you know, Jansen, I'm disappointed you didn't bring Chick-fil-A nuggets for everyone, man. I was hanging out with you guys last night. I loved it. When the Giants... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was the only one in my house. And I would have been more than happy to share.
When the Giants made their second pick to take Jackson Dart, I kind of turned into Mike Valenti. I was screaming at my TV, like, F you, F you. I'm like, geez, that's such a bad pick.
Right. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Russell Wilson's going to be their starter next year, and it's going to take him a minimum of a year to get up to speed for the NFL, and probably 2. I mean, he was a half-the-field read type of guy. He's got the physical skills. I just don't know if he can make that jump or how quickly he can make that jump to being an NFL quarterback in regards to reading a defense, looking from sideline to sideline, and even knowing it pre-snap before he has to deliver a ball downfield.
I get the logic in trading up at the end of the first to get the fifth-year option for a quarterback you believe in. I don't get believing in Jackson Dart. Watch him play in any of the big games they played last year. He was underwhelming. Maybe you're going to coach him up. There's a lot of coaching, John, to your point, that needs to take place there because of the offense he played in and the way that they run things. I saw Dart talking to Gruden, and their breakdown, their pre-snap cadence was this. And then they said, well, you got a dummy count? And he goes, yeah, it's this. That's the sophistication of the offense at Ole Miss is there's a lot that goes into playing quarterback beyond the physical traits. And even Mel Kiper questioned, are you drafting this quarterback for the next regime? Are you really in sync? I know Dable says I see some Josh Allen in him. Well, another coach may be figuring that out.
Well, regardless of who they drafted this year, a new coach may be figuring it out next year. I mean, he is on his it's a very short leash.
Kiper was so incredulous over the fact that Dart was selected over Shedeur Sanders. I wondered if like it was Mel Kiper hyphen Sanders, if he was like a member of the family.
I think I mentioned it yesterday. I didn't think there was a first round quarterback in this draft. You put all of these guys in last year's draft and they're probably taken after, which is why Cam Ward came back for another year. He knew what was at stake of going in last year's draft, competing with all six of those guys for to be picked versus maybe coming in and being the best of the bunch, knowing someone's going to take a shot on a quarterback in the first round.
Where does Shedeur go? And I know that Browns have two of the first five picks, but if they wanted him, you could have made the case to go up and get the fifth-year option. They didn't. So now is it the Saints at 40? Is it the Cowboys at like 40, 44?
Here's the other thing, too, is like they're not dealing with – if they called the Eagles, if they called the Chiefs, you're not talking with general managers that are going to be taken advantage of. They knew the value they had in that pick 31, 32, that fifth-year option, and they probably said, we know who we want. Obviously, the Eagles, they took Jahad Campbell, a guy that we wanted, and they probably said, okay, if you want that fifth-year option for Shedeur, it's going to cost you.
Can we jump back to this hyphenation thing quick? So if you have man crush or you gush over somebody, the new bits to hyphenate their name with your name?
No,
Kiper. So you said like Kiper Sanders.
I think he was just so over the top about it. There's one thing where, boy, I don't know why this guy's falling, but then they start comparing him to Brett Favre. Well, Favre wasn't the highest quarterback in his class, and we're doing Hall of Fame comparisons. Mel, maybe you were wrong. Maybe the other 32 teams. It was a bit much, John.
Yeah,
it was a bit much.
Referring to you as Costa Chapman
or Costa
Bregman.
Multiple hyphens.
No, I think right now it's more Costa Maeda.
Thanks, Kenna Maeda. John, who are your day two targets for the Lions?
So I got a couple for you. At the guard position, the guy that we saw mock to him in the second round, actually, Marcus Imbeaux out of Purdue. Another guard, Jackson Slater. Now, a lot of people probably don't know him. He's a guy from Sacramento State. Had a really good, played left guard. Played a couple of games at left tackle, but is as solid as they come, would be a very solid pick. And he may be a guy that, because there's so many edge, there's still defensive tackles, there's other guys that are going to be taken in front of him that may fall into the third round. And if you want him, you could trade up in the third to get him. I don't think he lasts till 102. A couple other guys that I think would be helpful. Nick Scowerton, probably off the board by that time. Jordan Birch from Oregon. But I think a guy that's on the board late in the second round, Josiah Stewart from Michigan. A guy that's not going to come in and be a three-down guy. He's a pass rush specialist. You pair that with re-signing Za'Darius Smith, who's probably first and second down. Then you bring in, or you use them and mix and match in a lot of different ways. I think it would be intriguing to see him as a guy that coming off the edge could get to the quarterback.
Yeah, the disclaimer is you still got to take good football players, but in a perfect world, they end day two with a guard and an edge player. And the longer they wait on that edge player, the more I want Za'Darius Smith back to pair up with him, because he might not be a finished product if they're taking an edge at 102, for example. But guard, edge, pair him up, keep getting big people, win the trench battle, keep stocking it up.
Yeah.
And the Piston game was pretty unfortunate, and we will discuss that. But Tyleek Williams, the pick that nobody saw coming.
Nobody, not one person.
Or did they? There it was from yesterday and last night. One person saw it coming.
I want King to relish this moment as much as you can. This might be the greatest moment of your life.
I have two daughters and got married as well. And this might be this might
the
be
the greatest moment in your life.
Today I feel like I am the greatest draft pontificator.
To call the shot on pick number 28.
I know.
It went completely off the board. And you admitted, I'm going off the board because who knows what the hell is going to happen. Tyleek Williams. And then he got it right.
It was
fantastic.
It was so great. And I got to tell you, nobody had this. Yesterday we went through and I read off the results of like 16 mock drafts. Nobody had the name Tyleek Williams. Not Kuiper, none of the local guys who all do a really, really good job. And your reasoning was you know what you did? You put together a fantastic guess for reasons that all made sense.
It was, yeah, like listen, to get in the mind of Brad Holmes or any GM is nearly impossible. And then you mentioned that Gator, pick 28. My God. You know, this isn't even top five stuff right here. So what I did was it a dart I threw? Yes. But it was an educated dart throw. And I just took what I knew about Brad Holmes and Lions and I just said, okay, what do I know? We know he doesn't care about positional value, right?
Yep.
We know he drafts football players. So I took that into account. I'm like, he doesn't care what everyone on his draft board says. Everyone else's draft board says Tyleek Williams is a second round pick. And I said, but what if Brad Holmes doesn't think he's a second round pick?
Mm-hmm.
And he's so unpredictable. It's always a guy that we never thought of. So I eliminated all the guys we all mentioned all week for the last 2, 3, 4 weeks. Okay.
Yep.
And then I said, all right, who did they visit with? Because that's always kind of a sign too. I went up and down the list. I saw Tyleek Williams. I know they say they don't draft for need, but they know what they need. And sometimes the player matches need. So my shot in the dark was, it's going to be Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle. Now, I don't get a lot right, and I get a lot wrong, really. But when I do, I'm going to celebrate the hell out of it.
And if you watched last night, when Kane came back on the Twitch stream, he had a cigar.
He brought it into work.
Oh, did he?
He still got it, leading into it,
my friend.
Yeah. It was a great job. And what did they get? Well, they got a big run stuffer. He plays for one of the most respected position coaches. He played for one of the most respected position coaches in college football in Larry Johnson, the D-line coach there at Ohio State. And I was thinking back to when I remember him making an impact in the Michigan games, because that's my own eyes, like when I got to see. And this year he had more tackles than he had 2 years ago. But this year against Michigan's offensive line, I get why he'd have a bunch of tackles. Michigan's offensive line struggled. 2 years ago, in the middle of the Michigan offensive line, they had NFL players, you know, Zinter and Keegan. And he was a big part. If you recall early in that game, Will Johnson had an interception that set up Michigan first and goal. And they ended up scoring on 4th-and-1. And Tyleek Williams had two big plays. One run stuff where he pushed somebody into the backfield. Another where he made a tackle on Blake Corum. And that's where he first kind of came on the radar to me. What he is known as is a run stuffer. And while we didn't call Tyleek Williams, one of the things we talked about yesterday was whoever they get in this draft on the defensive side of the ball, I bet they're great against the run because of the direction that this league is going. And they still have other needs, don't get me wrong, but this guy can stuff the run. He did it at the collegiate level, and that's how he stood out. I heard some scouts describe him in when they did like the three cone drill and some of the running for defensive linemen. They said he moves like a ballerina, but he's 6'3", 334.
Well, when he was younger, he was a running back and a quarterback. He said he was just the biggest kid and strongest kid on the team all the time. And then eventually his body turned into a defensive tackle body when he got into high school. But he said his footwork never left him. So that's why he's got this really good footwork. And when you watch the film, when you watch the highlights, and I rewatched that package last night when they made the draft pick when we were done on the air.
Yep.
And yeah, you can see it. I mean, he's got this quick lateral movement. He's athletic, and you know, he uses his weight and strength very well. And then I was listening to what people were saying about him, and then did a deeper dive last night into this morning as well, and did some research on him. And you know, initially I wasn't thrilled with the pick because I wanted an edge rusher there, and I thought there were a couple of really good edge rushers available. I think clearly one is a character issue, and that's why they shied away from him, and so did everybody else in the league. But Azaraka was there, and I was a little surprised. But okay, let's you know, figure out why they did this. And yeah, we have talked about the need of defensive tackle with DJ Reader. He's not going to be here for much longer. And we don't know if Broderick Martin is a bust or not, but he didn't see the field. And when they talked about the team last night, Brad Holmes didn't mention Broderick Martin. I don't know if that was just a misstep or what. And Ali McNeil's coming off a knee injury. We don't know how he's going to return. So it makes sense to add a defensive tackle, which is why we talked about Kenneth Grant or Walter Nolan
or Derek Harmon. But all three of those players were gone. So when those guys were gone, we hardly ever mentioned Tyleek Williams. The only time we mentioned Tyleek Williams is when Kang opened his mouth yesterday. We never really brought this guy up, yet we did talk about the position. So it's interesting because this is absolutely drafting for need.
Feels like it.
But it is also a player of substance, which this is the thing that infuriates me when Brad Holmes says that, because it's like he chastises the media for bringing up going for need when he says we're just looking for players. Like, yeah, we all got that. We know we're looking for players, but that's going to take care of itself. There is a need on this team. There's also a need at edge rusher right now. And I imagine they're going to look hard at that at pick number 60 or perhaps pick number 102.
One of the hot button issues in Detroit is what is next for Jameson Williams. And Brad Holmes talked about it last night. And now this morning at this hour, we have breaking news. All right. The first that I saw to report this was Field Yates from ESPN. So we will give him credit. He writes, the Lions have exercised the 2026 fifth-year options on defensive end Aiden Hutchinson and wide receiver Jameson Williams, per source. A couple things about this. One is Aiden Hutchinson's a no-brainer, and of course they're going to do that, and he probably will get extended sometime in the near future. The J-Mo story is interesting, and I was really glad that somebody asked Brad Holmes about it last night. And it came up during the press conference. Okay, it's been floating around for, I don't know, a week, 10 days, that J-Mo might be traded. And, you know, we're kind of searching for where it's coming from, like what led to it. There's the social media speculation, which about his unfollowing the Lions and saying some things about loyalty is everything. We trace that back to an Alabama fan, some woman who's a fan of Alabama, who posted screenshots of J-Mo's page. And it's really funny because the loyalty be everything or whatever it was he posted, people immediately interpreted, oh, J-Mo's mad. Or J-Mo's happy, right? Couldn't it also have just as easily right. meant that J-Mo is loyal to the Lions and the Lions are loyal to him?
100%. And the other thing is nobody knows if Jim was following the Lions in the first place on Instagram.
Yeah, people say, oh, he stopped following the Lions. He unfollowed the Lions. And then I can't remember which reporter it was. One of the Lions beat reporters said, are we sure he ever followed the Lions? And then when Albert Breer tweeted out, people in NFL circles think Jameson Williams might be traded. We're like, okay. So we kind of had ignored it and said, until we can get this thing, I made one call, but until we can get sort of, if there's actual news here, we sort of ignored it. But when Albert Breer mentioned it, he said, okay, we're going to talk about this. But it was one of those weird stories that honestly felt a little uncomfortable giving it oxygen because there didn't seem to be a lot of merit to it. At this point, I don't know if that completely shuts it down, that we all relax, let J-Mo go out and do his thing. The Lions wouldn't have picked up the contract if they weren't happy with the way he was maturing professionally behind the scenes. Like, because part of J-Mo's story is J-Mo's behavior has gotten in the way of the football. I mean, he got suspended, right? You know, I mean, he's
a couple times.
And so Jameson Williams has had to grow up. And I get that some, I just think back to, and I say this all the time, but I think back to who I was at 21. And I remember some of the things I said and some of the things I did. And then I hear my kids, you know, I got, kids are around that age. And I'm like, okay, they're pretty good kids, but my God, sometimes some of the things they say and believe. And so allow someone the chance to mature and grow up and grow into this role. Now, that when you do that, you know, you can get burned by it. You can get burned by it. But at this point, is it relatively safe to say that they're comfortable with Jameson Williams' maturity and professionalism, or they wouldn't have picked up this contract?
Well, I think they are for the next 2 years.
Yes.
I think for sure. I don't think that.
I mean, that doesn't mean they still want to see more, but.
Well, no, but I mean, but they also got a lot out of him last year, and they know he can get so much more out of him. He's a big part of this offense moving forward. So to have him for really the next three seasons here, Okay, great.
Yep.
I think it's a no-brainer. We've always said, pick up the fifth year. The fifth year only costs you, I think it's $14 million. So, God, it's a lot of money. But but if you extend him, that number jumps well above 30 if you're going to give him an extension. So to pick up the fifth year option and announce you're going to do it makes all the sense in the world. And same thing with Aiden Hutchinson. You know, that is an easy no-brainer to pick up that contract because, again, you've got him pretty much on the cheap for the next couple of years. Now, the downside of that is a guy you're likely to extend. And if you're going to push it down the road at least another year on the extension, it may end up costing you another, you know, $3 or $4 or $5 million a season. But if you think he's worth it, you're going to go ahead and do that. And really what it tells me is that they believe in his team right now. They believe that there's a real window to win a championship now. The way they've extended a lot of these players, they think that window extends into the future as well, literally.
Yep.
But because they've done these two moves, this is a right here and now for the next couple of years. Go all in if you can. If there are guys you can find, on a one-year contract in free agency or guys you're going to trade for that are going to have an expiring contract in the next couple of years, go ahead and do that if you can. So I think it's I applaud them for what they've done with picking up those contracts, but it's not a lot. It's a golf applause because I think it's expected.
According to SpotTrack, they track contracts. The fifth year options: Aiden Hutchinson, $19.782 million; Jameson Williams, $15.493 million.
Yeah.
So there you go. Kang, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you guys know I've always been a big fan of J-Mo. I believe there's so much more meat left on that bone. I think he was just scratching the surface of what he can do for this offense and this team last year. Yes, he's had some off-the-field issues that over time, hopefully he matures and surrounds himself with people that keep him out of trouble. On the field, he's explosiveness. And to me, yeah, it was a no-brainer to pick up the option. Now, you can still trade him. I don't think this eliminates that completely. I highly doubt they trade him, but it's just...
You really think so after what Brad Holmes said last night? He was so dismissive of that possibility.
I'm just saying in the future... I mean, it doesn't have to be this year. You know what I mean? Like, he's not untradeable is my point, is what I'm saying. I don't want to trade him. Yeah. I think that he's trying to put out the flames that somehow got started, right? And no... I don't want to, because that's his distraction. I don't think he wants J-Mo distracted. I don't think he wants distractions on this team. And by the way, people keep saying, you know, he's under control for two more years, which he is. You can still franchise tag him that third year, too. And now I know that's going to be a lot more money, but, cap goes up, franchise number is going to be different. But as far as just team control, if you don't want to let him go and he's that important to his team and you can't work out a long-term deal, it's a T. Higgins type thing where they did franchise him before they end up ultimately extending T. Higgins. You can still franchise J-Mo at the end of his option year.
So what's interesting, though, is the eating away at future cap space. We do not have the numbers yet on Kirby's year-to-year cap hit. But this coming year, the fourth year for both J-Mo and Aiden Hutchinson, J-Mo is cap hit this coming year is 5.418. Aiden Hutchinson's is 11.365. In 2026, with this option picked up, Aiden Hutchinson chews up eight more million dollars. He goes from 11 to 19. Jameson Williams goes from 5 to 15. So that's another $18 million chewed up in the 2026 cap. This is why drafting so well is so difficult to keep teams together, and it's why you just know down the road there's going to be one. There's been some minor painful cuts. There's probably going to be some major painful cuts. I hope not. I hope there can be some restructuring, but it just feels like they're headed towards that. Hopefully, they'll be headed towards it, and they'll be making very difficult decisions, after parades.
Well, right, exactly. And the NFL keeps making money hand over fist, and that salary cap goes up. And like you mentioned, the restructuring of contracts. There's ways to keep these guys around for several years.
It feels like it's impossible to keep them all, but we'll see. Somebody, you know what's going to happen? There's probably going to be a surprise in that somebody might not even be worth keeping. We think he is, but he might not be. But we'll see. There's a lot of time and a lot of variables that will impact these decisions moving forward. Okay, let's get back into the draft. That was breaking news. The fifth year options picked up. No surprise, Aiden Hutchinson. But just to kind of close the door on some of the J-Mo talk, There you go. His fifth-year option also picked up by the Detroit Lions this morning. Tyleek Williams. He's the pick. What did they get? And what is next? The next question is fascinating. All right, so there it was last night. And defensive tackle, a position of need. I want to get to something about the need here in a minute. Just an update. On Twitter, we've got a poll. We're looking for the approval rating. Do you approve of this pick? Yes or no? Very simple. What really I think would work that has people questioning it, if they do question it, is who was on the board. I know that a lot of you coveted Jahad Williams and wanted to trade up for him. So the fact that he was on the board at 28, the linebacker from Alabama, and the fact that probably went to Philly doesn't that's one that makes you go.
Philly's done that a lot to the Lions, right? Where they end up drafting a player that Lions fans wanted.
Yep. So
you got a whole roster of guys like that.
Campbell was on the board. Mike Green was on the board. The edge rusher for Marshall with his 17 sacks. Donovan Azaraku with his 16 and a half sacks. The edge rusher for Boston College was on the board. Will Johnson plummeted. It sounds like injury related, but that hasn't stopped them before. And he's an elite talent that there is a really good chance that somebody's going to cash in and get a huge steal with him. Nicky Manwari was on the board. I mean, there's still a lot of good players out there. And they went with the defensive tackle. Who, when we discussed him, when his name did come up, there was a bucket of defensive tackles at the top. Well, there was one at the top that there was no accessibility to in Mason Graham. Then there was the three who were all gone before the Lions picked. And then we talked about that next bucket, which felt like a third bucket. Darius Alexander and Tyleek Williams were in that third bucket. And they went and grabbed Tyleek Williams. Now, why was he a third bucket guy? Why is anybody still on the board at 28 and not one of the top picks? Well, there's going to be a criticism. And the criticism is that he doesn't provide as much pass rush, which is something that the Lions need, but he is an established run stuffer. And so anyway, it's a need short term and it's a need long term. He has been compared and as a player, the player comp is Aleem McNeil. And who's not likely to be ready when the season starts for the Detroit Lions? Of course, it's Aleem McNeil. There's your short-term need. This guy has a chance to get on the field and get on the field early. And it's a need long-term because of where DJ Reader is in his career, probably much closer to the end than the beginning. And so from a positional standpoint, it makes sense. Listening to Brad Holmes talk last night about him, they loved his character, which is huge for them. We know that already. And it's paid dividends for them when they get into football character and does the guy love football. And Brad Holmes said repeatedly, he knocked it out of the park I can't remember if they met at the Senior Bowl or the Combine, but they met at one and then they had him in for one of their 30 visits. And he said he knocked it out of the park again. So he checks that box. And intelligence and instincts are the things that they love about this player. And these are, you know, I mean, stats show up. The defensive tackle spot, though, is one of the positions where stats don't always tell the story.
No, they don't. And, you know, the comp to Aleem McNeil is great. But, you know, Aleem McNeil was not a first-round pick.
Nope.
But has he played like one? At times he has. But, unfortunately, he got hurt last year and stunted the growth. And we'll see. We don't know how long it's going to take for him to come back and regain the form that was that had the Lions extending him, frankly, and giving him that big contract. I thought this was an interesting pick with what Holmes had to say afterwards. You know, the comps make you feel better about the pick, but when you find out that they were getting phone calls about trading back, that there was an offer to them, they could have traded back, stay in the first round, pick up some draft capital.
Did he say stay in the first round?
It was a pick for later in the first round. And I think people are thinking, you know, some people are thinking that that Atlanta was looking at a defensive tackle and that's why Brad Holmes said no. So because they wanted to make sure they didn't lose their guy. And
okay, I'm confused. Atlanta?
No, that's a separate thing from the Atlanta wasn't the team that was going to be trading with the Lions, okay. I don't think. Atlanta was a team that he saw behind them because they were interested in a defensive tackle. They ended up going with James Pierce. But he thought they were going to be interested in a tackle and that they would lose their guy. So what that tells you is that Brad Holmes had Tyleek Williams in this upper bucket. At least that's what it tells me, that they thought of him as being a defensive tackle like a Kenneth Grant or Derek Harmon. Because if you think he's in a separate bucket and a bucket behind it, then why not the edge rusher? Or why not just take the athletic freak and Amunwari? It's a draft of need without question, and a player fits the bill too. But I think he thinks very highly of this player, very highly of this player. But you know, if he even addressed the trade offer. That's interesting because I would love to know how far back.
You always want to know, yeah. Right? What was the trade offer?
What was the offer? What are you getting in compensation? Is it a third round pick, a fourth round pick? You know, who wanted it?
What's clear is whatever it was, he didn't think they were going to get a player. And he thought that it would empty the bucket of players that were available, however far back they would have moved. And he didn't want to do that.
I think he mentioned in the press conference, there was like two DTs that they had and the other one went, and this is the other one.
I'm fascinated who that other...
Yeah, me too. So, I mean, yeah, it fills a need, but I go back to maybe I'm in the minority here. I believe Brent Holmes when they say they're drafting the football player. They love this guy. They wouldn't have taken him in the first round because everyone else had this guy mocked in the second. It was a second-round pick, right? And before I made the pick yesterday of Tyleek Williams, I looked at why he might be a potential Lions pick. And the things that stood out were some of the things you mentioned, Doug. He's a film guy. He loves film. You talk about instincts and intelligence. He probably blew it out the park with his interviews with the Lions, with the combine and the top 30 visit, yep. And how much he knows about the game and how much more willing and better he's willing to get. He's got underrated athleticism, which is why he's got the Aleem McNeil comps. Aleem McNeil played at a very small school, or not very small, it was North Carolina State, right?
Yep.
He had no sack production there. And look what he's been able to do, translate that in the NFL. He can get pressure. We all see that. They feel the same way about Williams. He's obviously a run stuffer, but also he's got the skills and the intelligence to pressure up the middle. And they see that, you know, they're similar in size. They love this guy. And it does fill a need. But I think they didn't want a chance going to the next bucket because this guy was in their tier one.
Well, hello there. We got a lot to get to. I'm going to do my damnedest to balance it all. I'll probably fail. Hopefully you, the listeners, can help us. Because tonight is one of the best sports nights of the year in this city. I think the attention split is going to be something we address at 3 o'clock. Normally, the draft would be my A, B, C, and D priority. But tonight, I think the draft might be relegated to the iPad. We're going to get to it. It's all about Pistons-Knicks for me, but we'll talk about the draft, certainly. But any of this stuff trying to figure out what the Lions are doing, like any of us or any of you have a clue, is a complete fool's errand. It's a waste of time. You zig, Holmes is going to zag. So we're going to get to it because we can play scenarios and have a little fun with it, but no, we're not going to seriously break down pick 28 because, candidly, guys, hell, I haven't watched some of these players. Hey, take Chet Zabin from North Dakota. Haven't seen him.
Craig Zabel.
Whatever. Steve Zabin. All right.
NFL film.
I want to get into this. Can we just start with Kirby Joseph?
Yep.
I don't know if fans are going to choose violence. Rico, I want you to tell me if I am just a victim here of Cialis City. I've laid down my sword. I just don't care anymore. Like, there's no sense yelling or even getting mad at what the Lions do, because A, fans just drink the bathwater. If you criticize Holmes and go, geez, I don't really want to pay a safety $22 million a year at the cost of losing XYZ, they'll say, well, we want to be good for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I'll say you didn't win a playoff game last year. Ultimately, here's where it is. If I say I just don't want the highest paid safety in the league, especially when I've got Brian Branch right behind him, that's not an issue about me not liking Kirby. I love Kirby Joseph. But I got him signed this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there are mechanisms in place in this league where if you really want to keep him or not, we can discuss that. Yeah. I don't need to run out. And I mean, Rico, I want you to just think about this. This is just some data for you. So now, obviously, he's the highest paid safety in the league. That's above Antoine Winfield Jr., who makes 21. Again, Derwin James, never healthy, $19 million. Minkah Fitzpatrick, another borderline playoff team. Buda Baker, non-playoff team. Xavier McKinney, Packers, 16.7. Jesse Bates, Atlanta, not a playoff team, $16 million. Javon Holland with the bum-ass Giants, $15 million. I can keep going, but I don't need to. If you're a big-time team, you don't pay safeties.
Nope.
So I like Kirby. I'm not slandering Kirby. I'm happy as hell for the kid. He got his money. You're out there risking your body. You deserve to get paid and take care of your family. I'm not going to shred it, but we predicted this, that it would be the day of the draft.
I'm brand.
And they would drop a bomb and pay one of their own, do it early. And the reality is, look, if they win a Super Bowl, it worked. If they didn't, it doesn't. If they make one, there'd be a debate. That's really the only thing that matters. Not you, not Rico, not me. The opinions, it's just all or nothing. They either win the Super Bowl or they don't. And look, I like signing my own players to a point, but it's kind of gotten a little far for me. You know, $22 million a year for Kirby Joseph. Well, basically now, do you plan on having $40 million of safety between Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph? So does that basically mean Laporta is gone? I mean, what are you going to do? You going to pay Gibbs $20
million? You're playing musical chairs. Somebody's going to be left out. So
sounds like J-Mo.
It really does. And that's the fan favorite, because that's the one where, man, you say anything bad about him and you don't know football and how dare you. Somebody's not going to get paid. This was one where I wouldn't have done it. I think it's unnecessary. I'm like you. I'll just keep franchise tagging you if I need to.
And again, there's a fixed cost to that. And I want to make sure you don't get slandered on the text. Yes, that is a fully guaranteed bomb you're hitting your cap with. The point is, I don't know. I like Kirby Joseph a lot. I already had him under contract. Not everybody can get paid early. 4 years and $86 million, man. Yes, you're right. By year 3 and 4, the cap may go up enough, I won't care. But in the meantime, you weren't able to do anything this offseason of note because you were too busy doing this. Mm-hmm. And again, for a team where Aleem McNeil may not play till Thanksgiving, or a team who's got their best pass rusher coming off a broken twig, I just prioritize different things. Yeah. I like Kirby, but he was already an employee. I don't have to pay you early.
He wasn't the one I was expecting. I thought Hutch was going to be the first one.
Well, that may be later today.
Right.
The way they operate?
Oh, it'll be at least one or two more before the draft.
That's what it feels. Remember last year? It was insane.
I think, what was it? Who was it? Goff was the holdout. It was like it was Sewell. It was Amon-Ra. Yep. And we were like, oh, so where's Goff? And just wait. His came a couple days later.
Yeah, so look, I'd like to have a conversation about it. I don't know that that's in the offing, but there's no yelling and screaming. There's no point to it. Ultimately, they're not going to change. This is their strategy. Draft, develop, sign. And they're going to do it till the brakes come off. I mean, this is what they're going to do. They're not going to go big in free agency. They're not going to go and make a huge trade. They're just not going to do that stuff.
Yeah.
They like their room. They like their people. And even though Dan Campbell once said, we can't get seduced and fall in love with our own people, it's exactly what they're going to do. So it's either going to be good enough or it's not. And that's just where I'm at. Rico, I'm not going to lie to my audience and yell and scream about it because we expected it.
But knock on the door. It was Cupid. And Dan Campbell fell in love with the people that he asked. We should have known something, Mike, when Kirby Joseph threw out the first pitch for the Tigers. And he was like, yeah, we're close. That's when it's imminent. It's going to happen. It did happen. I wasn't shocked. As I stated, not something that I would do. But if you keep going at this pace, in the musical chairs of paying everybody, somebody's going to be left there holding the bag. And the way it's looking, I mean, maybe it is going to be J-Mo. I think that you could have waited on this because you're right. Safety, to me, is not that make or break player that your defense absolutely has to have.
Like, yeah, but and again, I know what's coming. Well, he led the league in interceptions. That's a circumstantial statistic. A lot of luck factor.
I was about to say, right place, right time for a lot of those interceptions.
Yeah, and you give them credit for some, but like some of the best corners in history, they don't get interceptions.
Because they don't throw at them.
Some of the best safeties, they don't get interceptions. Right. You know, I don't let that one stat guide me to where, oh, I got to pay this guy $22 million a year. I like Kirby. It's not slanderous. Just for me, I'm more fascinated. All right, who are you showing the door? Because it's just getting to a point now. You're going to start seeing names disappear. Mm-hmm. So would I have chosen Kirby over Brian Branch? No. I think Branch is more versatile. Would I have chosen Kirby over Laporta?
I'm going to say no, because I think
push.
If you have a top tight end in Laporta, especially in the red zone, look, his numbers went down and people are like, oh, well, he wasn't. Because you had more weapons. Because you had J-Mo back. Because you had other people scoring. Just because his numbers went down doesn't mean he wasn't as effective as he was the first year.
I would like to know your reaction to it. And again, if it's not about liking Kirby. Let's get a little bit deeper into the conversation. Are you getting a little uncomfortable with the amount of money and how early you're paying your own people at the cost of going all in? Because, guys, that's what this is. Okay? Doing this, the byproduct of doing it the way you're doing it is you can never go all in. You can't go and get your Saquon Barkley, not positionally, but from an impact standpoint. You can't go out and make the move that puts you over the top. And for many of you, hey, hell us, I wouldn't have turned my nose at the guy. It would have been a Trey Hendrickson. Well, the reason you can't make moves like that are generally things like this. Mm-hmm. So just where are you at with it? I don't think it requires yelling, screaming, or, you know, any slander. But no, not surprised. Safety for me is never where I'm going to put 10% of my salary cap. But whatever. He's a good player. And I know you guys will mostly love it because you can't say anything about this team.
He's a fan favorite. Kirby Joseph, yeah.
So that's fine.
I like Minnie Merton Hanks.
He's a damn good player, Rico.
He is. He is, Mike. But yeah, a lot of the interceptions were, you know, kind of right place, right time. There you go. Okay, he got the pick. But, you know, it's a safety. There's safety's coming out every year out of college.
Just go look at the safety contracts around the league, and outside of a couple who are making $20, $21 million, that's a $9 to $10 million position. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I'm not making that up. And yes, Kyle Hamilton will sign, and the Ravens will go over the top and pay him and do whatever. There's always exceptions to the rule. Is Kirby one of those?
But see, Kyle Hamilton to me kind of seems like their version of Branch, where you can move him around and do different things.
He's a different
player.
I'm with you. 248-539-9797. We'll get with you guys. We are going to get to the draft. We are certainly going to get to Pistons basketball as well. That's where my attention is today. I'm sorry. It's the biggest Pistons game in 15 years. LCA is going to be a snake pit. It's got my complete attention tonight. And they better have final countdown.
Better be, man. You courtside. Don't get run over by a player.
Nope. Definitely not.
Fits like a glove, says Brad Holmes last night. Defensive tackle, Ohio State. The big headline with him, he stuffs the run. Massive human being, 330 pounds. Part of the national championship, Ohio State Buckeyes. John, we talked about it. Go get a big human being on one side of the line of scrimmage. Brad Holmes does just that. What was your reaction to the pick?
I mean, I don't hate the pick. And I'll preface it by saying I was hoping for Jihad Campbell at that time, but he does fill a need.
But Brad doesn't draft needs.
Right. It's interesting. Run stuffer for sure.
Yeah.
But then when you watch the film, he's a guy that not only can stop the run, he does a nice job of taking on double teams. And when Aleem McGill comes back, this is going to be a nice tandem in the middle. It's going to be a really nice tandem because he's very similar, in my opinion, to a DJ Reader who could take on double teams, who could shed blocks and make plays at the line of scrimmage. We didn't see DJ Reader make a bunch of plays on the quarterback. Where Tyleek Williams, I think, is better than DJ Reader is his ability to at least push the pocket. And he does have a knack for, if I'm not going to get there, I'm going to push this guard, the center, as far back into the quarterback's lap as possible, and I'm going to get a hand up and bat a ball.
Everything you read about him, big, smart, tough, highly productive. And at 330 pounds, I assume they were going to show a bunch of highlights of him at nose tackle or the one tech.
Oh, no. He can play the four-eye.
Well, yeah, he can play the three tech. That means there's pass rushing upside there. And seeing some Ohio State people talk last night, they believe he will have more pass rush upside in the NFL than he showed in college. So I like a guy that can play either interior D-line spot because that's flexibility. That's right now, while McNeil's hurt, he's a starter day one. When Aleem is healthy and Reader is on the last year of his deal, he slots in long-term. So it's short-term and long-term. Quality football player, fits a need. I'm sure Brad loves that we talk about that. But a good pick for the Lions. You said you like it, don't love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like it because it does fit a need. And here's where, when you bring up that could be better at pass rush in the league than he was there, a lot of things are telegraphed in college football. Guy lines up as a four-eye, instantly as a tackle, I'm thinking, hey, he's going to try and pick me, and it's a TE stunt and comes around. We saw that a lot. But he does have some nice natural instincts where when you're running that pick, which will probably come from more of a wide three or a three technique, and you rub that tackle, now all of a sudden, hey, what are my instincts telling me? Instead of just, hey, I'm going to do my job and then I'm done, and it's up to the edge guy to get around and make a play, he does have a nice feel of hitting that tackle and then reading, I'm in good position to now bounce off and actually get after that quarterback. We saw that a number of times with Tyleek Williams at Ohio State. So he does have good instincts. He also has good instincts, not just as a guy that's going to take on double teams at a three or a nose, of being able to move down the line of scrimmage and make plays down the line of scrimmage. He's big, but he's not big and immobile. I wouldn't call him the most fleet of foot, but he does have good instincts, good reads, and the ability to move lateral down the line of scrimmage and make plays.
He's not a player that you and I spent a lot of time talking about, but we did spend a lot of time talking about that type of player.
Mm-hmm.
The interior defensive lineman, Walter Nolan, was never going to fall there. Derek Harmon, fingers crossed, never going to fall there. Kenneth Grant, maybe. He went 13, but it's clear that Brad Holmes looked at that and said, we got to get better on the interior of our defense. And Tyleek Williams is a guy that they didn't hesitate to pick. The question is always going to be, who did they pass up on? There's a couple edge guys. Mike Green, who was the nation's leading sack artist last season. And Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College was also their very popular mock draft selection. Brad preferred this football player instead. Jihad Campbell, who you already mentioned, goes three picks later to the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the one criticism I think is valid. If you're going to say, I won't question Brad Holmes because he's Brad Holmes, you're allowed to point out Howie Roseman is Howie Roseman, right? I think that's a fair counterpoint. If you said, well, if I'm just going to defer to the really smart football people, the best general manager in the NFL said Jihad Campbell is a hell of a player, top 10 on their board, and the Lions didn't take him.
Yes, and obviously Edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson is a need.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles were looking at Jihad Campbell and had him highly ranked, one, because he's a really good player, but also because they lost a lot. They lost more at the edge than they did at defensive tackle. They lost one in free agency in Sweat. They lost another one in Brandon Graham to retirement. Like, they needed to address, to be able to do what they did last year in the Super Bowl, and that is get after a quarterback. Their need was bigger at edge than clearly at because they still have Jordan at defensive tackle. We know that they're stacked there in terms of the top end talent. Now depth, okay, they could find depth. We talked about it. This is a very deep draft at the defensive tackle position. I wouldn't be surprised to see Philly address the defensive tackle position, the depth of that position in the second round.
248-539-9797. Your reaction to Tyleek Williams is the pick for the Lions. Defensive tackle out of Ohio State. Big human being on the line of scrimmage. Hard to be mad at the pick. Maybe you got a gripe because you liked someone else more. We had the guy yesterday call with his draft crush, gushing about Jihad Campbell. I thought about him last night when they passed on him. The Eagles just have a knack for getting these good football players, right? Like, of course they end up with Jihad Campbell.
Sure, but you could also say, I mean, Brad Holmes has a mm-hmm. knack for getting good players in the draft.
But the only person that you would say rivals Brad Holmes is Howie Roseman, right?
Well, not just rivals him, is better.
He's better.
At this point, yes, because he's got Super Bowls.
Yeah. So if you go, well, my guy Brad Holmes did better, track record suggests Howie Roseman did better.
Yeah, but we're talking about who we believe are the top two
general managers
in football.
Ticket Texture says, stuff the run. The handoff was all Michigan had, and Mullings ran over him in Ohio State.
Hmm. I mean, I would love to second that emotion, but no. I mean, he did run over Jack Sawyer, but that was more Max Bredesen, who was on top of Jack Sawyer, knocking his helmet off, crushing him. Sorry.
Maybe you guys want to consider McNeil is more hurt than we think.
McNeil's not going to be back until, at the earliest, probably Thanksgiving. I think we all addressed the fact that it was a blown ACL late in the season. He won't be back until late in the season. It's for most guys, even though there's been advancements in recovery, in surgical procedures, it's generally about a 12-month recovery. So, no, I don't think we're underestimating that he's going to be back sooner than later. No, I think he's probably later than sooner.
Yeah. Enough with In Brad We Trust. Last year's draft was mediocre at best.
Well, I mean, if you got a starting right guard for the next few years in the sixth round, that's pretty good. We have no idea. We didn't see Manu.
Or Rakestraw, really.
Right. And so I think it's still TBD.
Draft thoughts, open lines. Now, we're going to guide the conversation, but I want you to feel very comfortable with any draft thoughts about your Detroit Lions, both last night and who they selected, or looking forward into today. Now, yesterday, we did our show, and I said, look, I'll take the futile fool's errand of trying to figure out Brad Holmes. And I said, I think it's going to be IBG, interior big guy. It'll be a D-tackle or an offensive guard. I laid out reasons why, and I was specific about the type of defensive tackle, which is not a disruptor, but a space eater. And I gave you Kenneth Grant, and I gave you Tykeel Williams. These are the two guys, 330 plus. I wasn't going to give you the kid from Florida who's literally, big pun, might be 600 pounds, Watson. But those two guys, and they ended up taking the latter. I have no problem with it. DJ Reader's on one leg. Ali McNeil's dead until potentially Thanksgiving, and Onzarike's on a one-year deal. It's a problem now, it's a problem later, and here's the other thing. If people are going to go, well, I didn't see about a lot of first-round mocks, that's not Brad Holmes' board. That's why I got so sick and tired of listening to Mel Kiper have a psychological break every time somebody didn't want Shadur. Hey, Hairspray, the teams don't value your effing board. Like, Brad Holmes' board is his board. And I'm going to trust if he likes this kid, yes, it fits a need. Yes, you win with the tip of the sword. You're picking 28th. How the hell am I going to get angry? I'm more than good with it. But I want your take. I know you were big on Doug's guy. Glaze Babin.
No, but he was taken already.
I know.
So at that
my
point,
heart broke.
At that point, Mike, we were there, same team. I thought Simmons from Ohio State, offensive line, can come in, help this team.
He went to the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But I like the pick. I'm very comfortable with it. And I don't think you can go wrong in the first round just drafting big people every year.
You know, you address the defensive line, which is something that I've been begging for.
But what did we say?
For years.
Everybody's sitting here pounding their beanbag about an edge. I said, it's every reason Brad is not giving you an edge in round one.
Yes. And I didn't think that they were going to do that because it made too much sense. But I guess he did the reverse of the reverse. And actually went out and said, there you go.
That was the madness and the genius of what we did yesterday was the whole, okay, we know what we want, Brad won't do. Okay, that's off the board. They're not going to do this. And we had like the Matrix up there. Right. And I go, interior big player.
We're looking like every crazy person in a movie with like the photos and the strings attached to them.
Like Charlie from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, like, okay, but if you do this, then he'll do that and we'll pivot with this. And it's like, okay, they went out there. I got no problem. Now, like, he was somebody that was projected to go in the second round, but if you had him up on your board,
I'm trusting,
and it was probably one of those, they were, I'm assuming if you're taking him, you're thinking that maybe Harmon drops to you or somebody else, and they didn't, but he was still there. Fine, look, we'll take it.
There are very limited players that are 330, 340 pounds that are athletes. You can find gymungus players later in the draft, but they are strictly a nose tackle. They are strictly a space eater. This kid has some quickness. Just like Kenneth Grant does.
Yes.
You want that elite type of athlete, you have to take them there.
Yeah.
That player's not around in the second round. So I'm
trusting. And you're picking so late in the second round. It's not like you're early in the second round. So I'm with you. Okay, real quick, 10 seconds. The other guy that I'm thinking, okay, if you do the reverse of the reverse, maybe Jihad Campbell. Maybe they'll go and get him.
Oh, no, that's Howie Roseman.
And then they passed on him, and I'm like, he's going to be an Eagle. He's going to be an Eagle. I'm telling Stoney, he's going to be an Eagle.
If we did radio in Philly, you just cross off every non-SEC football player. They're only taking SEC guys
and once
on defense, at least.
I mean, Rosen, he's my spirit animal. Like, I love his drafts. He takes everybody who I like.
Great. But no, and again, look, guys, I will they take an edge tonight? I don't know that to be the case. What would I like to see them do? I mean, I'd love an interior offensive lineman. I think you just keep building your lines, mm-hmm. and you do take the best available player. Because here's the deal. Like, I don't know where you stand on this. But the idea of, okay, I must take an edge in the second round. Well, if it's the 16th rated edge or it's the 7th rated guard on your board, it's a no-brainer to me. I'm taking the guard. And Brad Holmes continues to reinforce he's going to stick to his board. Would it shock me if they moved up tonight? Maybe he's got a first-round grade on somebody.
Right.
Oh, nothing will surprise me. But no, I'm not sitting here going, they will absolutely do nothing that you want. Because they're just going to do what they do.
You're right. At the point, using your example, you're at the 16th best edge. There's no difference between 16 and 19. Now you're in the experimental range. Hopefully we could turn this guy into a player. So let's just get the best players who we know can hit the field right now running. That's what I want to see. So who are they going to take? I would like to see somebody who could be versatile at guard, tackle spot in case anything happens, you know, that you can, you know, move them around. That's where I would go with the second pick of the draft. I'm okay if you don't go for any toys, any receivers, anything like that. Now, maybe tight end third round.
Oh, God. No.
No. They got multiple third rounders.
Oh, God.
That's Listen, why.
I want to know what people want. It doesn't matter what I want. David, you're looking blankly at the sky. What's going on? Talk to me. What have I said that offended you?
You didn't say anything.
Congratulations on passing on Shador, by the way.
Oh, he's coming. It's like a boomerang. He's coming back.
No, he's not. We don't have a second round pick.
Doesn't Cleveland just take
him? So he's not coming around. Okay,
David, here's the thing. I think if he doesn't go to New Orleans, he's still going to be there in the third round.
Oh, man, Mel Kiper's going to need a psych ward.
I mean, it's
Todd.
You'll know real quick in about the first 30 minutes of the draft, he may be there for the third round, which is still tonight.
I'll save my Shador. I have an entire presentation because people never can just keep the main thing the main thing. They always got to make stuff up.
You got to be racist today, man.
Exactly. There you go. If you don't like Shador, you're a racist. Oh, you're God. A hater. Oh, one anonymous coach derailed this kid.
There you go.
Okay, space cheese. Or he's not that good, and his talent isn't good enough to deal with his bleephole dad. That might also be, you know, like the crazy hot scale that comedians use? Yeah. Here's an idea. Talent, pain in ass. Well, those two things don't line up.
Very racist. You're a racist. I know. The biggest racist.
I know. Going to have you out here. I'm going to have to turn you into Jerry Maguire. Mike, say goodness. I love black people.
Once again, I would just ask the question, what does Shador do at an elite level? Does he have a plus arm? No. Does he have plus mobility? No. What? Oh, here's the other thing. He thinks he's God's gift to football. He rolls into your building and says, I'll change everything around. Even look at his draft night setup.
What are we doing? Save it.
Okay.
Sorry. Lions draft.
Wow.
Tyleek Williams.
Sorry.
IGD, whatever you said.
David from the clouds just dunked on all of us.
You know what? He's right, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm very passionate about this because I got tired of being berated last night on the television that if I didn't want Shador, I was a crackhead. No, he's not that good. And 32 teams decided we don't want him.
Well, we had to cancel our orders because we had Shador jerseys. So, sorry, David. Lions draft pick, 248.
Go ahead. We got a couple open lines. I'd love to. I'm sorry, David. I apologize. You know what? I'm sorry I'm passionate about things. Maybe I'll just go at a slower pace. Let me just do easier radio for you,
go
huh?
Ahead. Pat yourself on the
back. Hey, David, how was your night? Tell me all about it. Let's burn a segment.
How about we, you know what? We should break down potential six-round selections.
Kenny, did you go to your niece's ball game? What was it like, huh?
They won 6-2, the best ball game. I'm sorry.
Kenny, how many times did you say shoot the puck last night?
A lot of times. A lot of shoot the puck.
All right, please. You're turning into Louis Anderson now. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Turn it off.
All right, stop.